thank you for joining with us here at Bethel Free Presbyterian Church in County Fermanagh. Whoever you are, wherever you are from, listening in this evening, our prayer is that God's precious word will be a blessing to you personally. Now, due to the coronavirus, all our public services here have been cancelled until further notice. But you can listen in online to our ministry of God's word every Sunday at 12 noon and 7 p.m. and every Tuesday evening at 8 p.m. At this point in our meeting, I'd just like to read out a statement from the officers of our presbytery regarding the matter of the coronavirus. And it's really a call for special prayer. And I read that statement to you. It says, as moderator, deputy moderator, and clerk of the General Presbytery of the Free Presbyterian Church of Ulster, we recognise in the light of Scripture that Almighty God in His displeasure with us for our willful transgression of His holy law has by means of the coronavirus pandemic sovereignly and solemnly sent forth a call to our hearts to seek Him. Therefore, we hereby issue a plea that the Lord's people in our free Presbyterian churches give themselves to special prayer, to repent before Him of our sins against Him, to plead for His mercy in these present days of national and international crisis, to cry to Him to graciously give us revival to His church and spiritual awakening among the lost, that He would mercifully reverse this pandemic, recognizing that measures already in place mean that we are not able to gather for public worship. We as presbytery officers would ask God's people to set aside the afternoon hours between 2 p.m. and 4 p.m. this coming Lord's Day, March the 29th, and in our homes and with our families, give ourselves to this special season of prayer as outlined above. We would request every minister by all possible means to inform his people of this appointed season of prayer and to encourage them to enter into it with all earnestness, believing that what the Lord has said in His word remains true and relevant. And I quote the scriptures. It says, if I send pestilence among my people, if my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and will heal their land. 2 Chronicles chapter 7 verses 13 to 14. In Christ, signed by the Reverends Gordon Dean, John Armstrong and John Greer. So do remember this statement from our presbytery, and do set aside that season, this coming Lord's Day, to pray, especially regarding the situation in our land and throughout the nations of the world at this time. At this part of our meeting, we're just going to seek the Lord in prayer and ask for the Lord's blessing upon us this evening as we gather around God's Word, wherever you are in your home or wherever. Prayer is that as we consider God's Word together, read it and meditate upon it, that the Lord will speak to our hearts, that the Lord will draw near and bless us each one. Our loving God, our gracious, eternal, heavenly Father, we do gather before Thee this evening hour in the Saviour's precious and wonderful and holy name. And Father, we thank Thee afresh tonight for the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the way, who is the truth, who is the life. And Father, we thank Thee for His sacrifice for our sins upon the cross. And Father, we thank that He died for us, that He rose again victorious the third day, that He is alive, O God, forevermore, and that He is seated at Thy right hand in heaven's glory, interceding for the people of God. And O God, as we come before Thee, we come pleading the merit of His precious blood, His perfect righteousness. We rejoice, O God, that we are accepted in the Beloved. And even, Lord, as we now would turn soon in Thy Word, to read Thy Word and to meditate upon it for a season, O God, pour out Thy Spirit upon our hearts, upon all who would listen this night. We pray that through Thy Word, that encouragement and guidance and challenge and counsel would be given, Lord, to thy people. And for any who listen in, O God, and they're still not saved, still strangers to grace and to God, we pray that thy word will be the means of guiding them to Christ for eternal salvation. We thank thee, O God, tonight that thou art upon the throne. We thank thee that thou art almighty, that thou art all-powerful, all-knowing, and all-seeing. And, O God, thou dost know our particular need at this time as a nation, O God. We pray that even in mercy and in grace that thou would stem this pandemic, we pray. And that throughout our land and throughout our nation, O God, there will be that seeking of God. That there will be that turning in faith and in repentance unto the Lord. And that thou wilt have mercy upon thy people and upon our land. And that many will turn and seek the Lord for salvation. Bless wherever thy word is faithfully proclaimed in these days, O God, not only in this land, but across the nations of the world. And we thank thee that thou hast promised to build thy church, and that the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And, O God, our prayer is that through the going forth of thy word in these days, that many will press into the kingdom of God and be saved by the grace and by the mighty power of God. Bless all the families connected here with the church in Bethel. Meet the need of every home, of every heart, of every family. Keep thy protecting hand upon the old and the infirm and the sick and the vulnerable. And Lord, those in the medical profession, grant your blessing and protection, O God, upon them. Upon the children also of our Sunday school or youth fellowship. And Lord, every member of our congregation and every friend. We pray, Lord, that thou wilt watch over them at this time. We thank thee for the great promise of thy word that the angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him. And Lord, may we know the reality of that great promise at this particular time. Remember this town of Enniskillen and this county, Lord, of Fermanagh. And we pray, Lord, that thou wilt speak to many hearts and many lives, O God. And may each one realize there's a God in heaven with whom we have to do. And that each one would realize their personal need of salvation. And that there might be a great awakening even in this county of souls seeking the Lord for salvation. Bless us now, we pray, as we read thy word. As we minister thy word, have thy way. Pour out thy Holy Spirit upon us. Give help in the ministry of thy word, O God. And Father, we pray that thou would lead and guide and direct by thy Holy Spirit. And all that will be said and done. For we pray and we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen. Our Bible reading this evening is taken from the New Testament book of 2 Corinthians and the chapter number 1. We're turning in God's Word to 2 Corinthians and the chapter number 1. Reading from verse 1 of the chapter, just down to the end of verse number 12. And if you have a Bible in your home, then I would encourage you to open up the Scriptures and read along with us. Look up the passages of Scripture as well. And we pray that through the Word of God, that light and counsel and blessing will be for your heart and for your soul. And we're reading tonight from 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. Beginning our reading at the verse number 1. Let us hear the word of the Lord as we read it together. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, unto the church of God which is at Corinth, with all the saints which are in all Acacia, grace be to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforteth us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in any trouble by the comfort wherewith we ourselves are comforted of God. For as the sufferings of Christ abound in us, so our consolation also aboundeth by Christ. Whether we be afflicted, it is for your consolation and salvation, which is effectual in the enduring of the same sufferings, which we also suffer, or whether we be comforted, it is for your consolation and salvation. And our hope of you is steadfast, knowing that as ye are partakers of the sufferings, so shall ye be also of the consolation. For we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. But we had the sentence of death in ourselves, that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God, which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. Ye also helping together by prayer for us, that for the gift bestowed upon us by the means of many persons, thanks may be given by many on our behalf. For our rejoicing is this, the testimony of our conscience, that in simplicity and godly sincerity, not with fleshly wisdom, but by the grace of God, we have had our conversation in the world, and more abundantly to you word. Amen. We'll end our reading there at verse 12. And our prayer is that God will bless this reading of God's eternal and infallible word to all of our hearts. Now, the words of Scripture I want us just to look at this evening are the opening remarks of verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1. It says there, ye also helping together by prayer for us. Now, in this chapter, Paul the Apostle is writing to the believers at Corinth. And in doing so, he tells of the perils that he himself faced whenever he was ministering God's word at a place called Ephesus. And he makes reference to those perils in verse number 8 of the chapter. He says, for we would not, brethren, have you ignorant of our trouble, which came to us in Asia, that we were pressed out of measure above strength, insomuch that we despaired even of life. Then following on from that, in verse number 9, Paul then tells how he was almost at the point of death. Look at what he says at the beginning of that verse. He says, but we had the sentence of death in ourselves. Then following on from this, he tells of God's delivering power from death in his life. And you see that in the latter part of verse 9 and also verse 10 of the chapter. He says that we should not trust in ourselves, but in God which raiseth the dead, who delivered us from so great a death and doth deliver, and whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. And by such words, the Apostle Paul testifies of his confidence in the Lord's delivering power in his life, not only for the past and for the present, but also for the future as well. And then, as well as acknowledging God's deliverance and intervention in his own life, Paul also acknowledges the prayers of God's people in Corinth for him at this particular time. And this he does in our text at the beginning of verse number 11 of the chapter, when he says, ye also helping together by prayer for us. And here we see how the believers in the Corinthian church had prayed for Paul at this particular time. God had heard their prayers and God had answered their prayers, and as a result of their prayers had delivered the Apostle Paul. Here we see that their prayers were a great help and a great blessing, and also a great encouragement to God's servant at this time in his life. Yes, here were a people in the church at Corinth who had power with God in the place of prayer. And just as these believers in Corinth were a blessing to others through their prayers, so all God's saved and redeemed people can be a help and a blessing to others through their prayers.
And if ever there was a day that God's people needed to realize this great truth, it is the days in which we are living and find ourselves in. Yes, as you and I face the epidemic and the pandemic of this coronavirus, God's people must give themselves to prayer. And for that reason, I want us then to consider these words here in the opening part of verse number 11 of 2 Corinthians chapter number 1, where it says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." The first thing I want you to notice here was that the prayer of these Corinthian believers was united. It says here in verse 11, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Notice that word "ye" and the word "together." And those words really show that these Corinthian believers were united at the place of prayer. Indeed, this is one of the reasons why they were such a powerful influence for good at that time in the place of prayer. And the Word of God shows on many an occasion that there is blessing when God's people are united in prayer. In Acts chapter 2, that chapter tells of the great blessing of the days of Pentecost. But prior to this, in Acts chapter 1, verse 18, you read of the early New Testament church, and it says, "These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication." Also, Acts chapter 12, it tells of Peter's release from prison. And verse 5 of that chapter says that prayer was made without ceasing of the church unto God for him. And in both these incidents, it was united prayer that led to the blessing of God. William Cooper of old, that hymn writer, was right when he spake of prayer and said, "Prayer makes the darkened cloud withdraw. Prayer climbs the ladder Jacob saw, gives exercise to faith and love, brings every blessing from above." You turn with me in your Bible back to Romans chapter number 15, to the 15th chapter of the book of Romans. If you turn there to the verse 30 of that same chapter, here you will see the Apostle Paul is encouraging the believers in the church in the city of Rome to pray unitedly for him in God's work. And he makes this request because Paul was one who knew and one who valued and appreciated united prayer from God's people on his behalf. Romans chapter 15 and verse 30, Paul says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, for the Lord Jesus Christ's sake, and for the love of the Spirit, that you strive together with me in your prayers to God for me." And there was a call by Paul to the believers in Rome for united prayer on his behalf. And dear child of God, this is a day in which we live. It's a day for united prayer. When you and I think of the needs concerning this coronavirus, needs in our medical services, needs in government, whenever you and I think of those who are sick and those who are dying, when we think of the need of God's work at home and abroad, when we think of the spiritual state of our own nation here in the United Kingdom, then this is a day when God's redeemed people must unite daily at the throne of grace and prayer. Child of God, I leave the challenge with you this evening. The challenge is this: believer in Christ, will you be one of those who will enlist in God's army of prayer warriors at this particular time? Yes, the prayer of these Corinthian believers was united prayer. But the second thing I want you to notice here from our text in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11, is that the prayer of these Corinthian believers was also earnest prayer. It says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us. I want you to notice those words in particular, helping together in the original language of the New Testament. They have the meaning of someone who labors intently, someone who labors fervently or earnestly. And this would show us how the Corinthians were earnest in the place of prayer at this time. They were not half-hearted about this matter of prayer and seeking God. Child of God, there's a wonderful lesson there for you and I, and the lesson is this. If you and I, if we are to be a blessing to others in prayer, then you and I, we must be earnest in prayer. In the book of James, chapter 5, and the verse number 16, it says there, the effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man availeth much. And that word fervent there, it speaks of earnestness. And as you would read through your Bible, you will find many examples of those who were earnest in prayer. You think of Elijah in the Old Testament. He was earnest in prayer. And speaking about him, James in the New Testament, chapter 5 of his book, verses 17 and 18, speaks of Elijah. And this is what he says about him. He says he prayed earnestly that it might not rain, and it rained not on the earth by the space of 3 years and 6 months. And he prayed again, and the heaven gave rain. Elijah was earnest in prayer. The Bible also speaks of another man by the name of Epaphras. You read about him in Colossians chapter 4 and the verse number 12. And that verse says that he was always laboring fervently in prayers. He just wasn't fervent in prayer for a little while, but by the mark, the testimony of his life was one of earnest, fervent prayer. And speaking about the importance of being earnest in prayer, John Bunyan, the great preacher of a bygone day, he said this, he says, when thou prayest, rather be thy heart without words than thy words without heart. And he was emphasizing the importance of earnestness in prayer. If you turn with me in your Bible back to the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter number 18 to the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke, and go to the verse number 5 of that particular chapter. Here you see how the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of God, tells of the unjust judge, promising to avenge a poor widow because she was earnest in her pleading with him. The verse says, yet because this widow troubleth me, I will avenge her, lest by her continual coming she weary me. Notice that phrase there, by her continual coming. That shows you how this woman was earnest in her pleading with this unjust judge. And child of God, take great encouragement from this. You see, whenever you pray earnestly, you are not praying to an unjust judge like the character that is mentioned here in Luke chapter 18, but rather through the Lord Jesus Christ, your mediator. You are praying to the God of heaven. What is the God of heaven like? Well, if you go back to our Bible reading, 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 3, there you find a wonderful description of the God of heaven that you and I pray to through the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior and our Mediator. Look at what it says there in verse 3 of 2 Corinthians 1. It says, blessed be God, even the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies, and the God of all comfort. Believer in Christ, always remember that when you come to pray, that you are coming to one, your Heavenly Father, who is the Father of mercies, the fountainhead, the source, the author of every mercy. The one who is the God of all comfort. Well, yes, whenever you and I think of these words, yes, we find great encouragement to be earnest in prayer. in these days of national crisis. Yes, the prayer of these Corinthian believers was earnest prayer. But one final thing here to note from our text this evening, from 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 11. And it is this: the prayer of these Corinthian believers, it was also needed prayer. Listen again to what Paul says. He says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Notice those final two words, "for us." That shows you and I that the prayers of these Corinthian believers were a vital lifeline to the Apostle Paul and to his fellow laborers in the gospel and fellow missionaries at this particular time. These prayers for Paul and his companions were prayers that were vital and prayers that were needed. Child of God, here you see the importance of praying. Praying in particular for those who are involved in God's work. Again in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 in the verse number 1, Paul says, "Our brethren, pray for us." Believer, when you think of God's servants and missionaries at this time, both at home and abroad, pray for God's protection upon them from this virus. Pray that God would bless them, use their ministry to the edifying of other Christians, and use also their ministry to the salvation of sinners. Also, believer in Christ, you can pray for the sick at this time, that they will know God's healing touch. The Bible tells us that whenever Simon Peter's mother-in-law was sick with fever, the Scriptures tell of those who asked the Lord to heal her in particular. In Mark chapter 1 and the verse number 30, it says, "And anon they tell him of her." And there they were really asking the Lord to lay his healing hand upon the mother-in-law of Simon Peter. Also, child of God, you can pray for those who mourn at this time, that they would know God's comfort in their heart and in their life. In Luke's Gospel, chapter 4, in the verse number 18, the Lord Jesus Christ tells of His coming into this world, and He says it was to heal the brokenhearted. You can pray for those that mourn at this time, that they will be comforted. But if you turn with me also in your Bible over to the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy chapter number 2, and the verses 1 and 2. And here Paul again is counseling us about prayer and about prayer for others. He says in 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1, "I exhort therefore that first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings, and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." And there we are told to pray for all kinds of people, in particular, child of God. You can pray for those who are in authority in this time, and also those who are in our medical profession, that they would know wisdom and that they would know protection from God. You see, it has been said that the greatest thing that you can do for a man is to pray for him. And in our text here this evening in 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and the verse number 11, it says, "Ye also helping together by prayer for us." Christian, your prayers are vitally needed at this particular time in our land and in our nation. Should I be speaking to one tonight and you're still not saved, then please realize that it is by you calling in faith upon the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation that you can be saved from your sins and that you can be sure of everlasting life in a home in God's heaven. The Bible says in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." The Word of God also says in Romans chapter 5, verse 6, "For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly." You see, on the cross of Calvary, the Lord Jesus Christ, God's eternal Son, His sinless Son, died as a sacrifice for sinners. And if you confess your sins to Him who died on the cross and rose again, if by faith you trust Him alone to cleanse away your sin by His precious blood that He shed upon the cross, then you shall be saved. And by the Word of God would show you that with Christ as your Savior, you then shall be on praying ground with God and be a help to others, even in the place of prayer. Unsaved listener, this evening, may you trust Christ as your Savior and the joy of your sins forgiven and the great assurance of everlasting life and a home in God's heaven. Thank you each one for listening, and may God bless His precious and holy Word to all our hearts for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Just before we close with a word of prayer, I want to leave a few prayer requests with you, and we encourage you to make these matters in particular a matter of urgent prayer there in the Spirit at this time, perhaps even this evening in the quietness of your own home, or some other time quietly in your own life, or as you gather to pray with your family or with loved ones. First of all, pray for the protection of the vulnerable and those in our medical services. Pray also for our government, that God would give them great wisdom to do what is right at this time. Pray for repentance and revival in our nation. Pray also that our missionaries would be protected at this time. Perhaps you could think tonight especially of the land of Spain. All churches there now are closed, and ministers and missionaries are seeking to minister and to evangelize through the means of modern technology. You could remember our own missionaries in that land, in particular the Reverend Hannah and his wife, the Reverend Alvarez and his wife, and the Reverend Boyd and his wife. Pray for them that God would bless them, watch over them and protect them, and their congregations in particular, and that God would use them for His honor and glory in those vineyards where they labor for God. And then pray that God, and in His great mercy, would stop the spread of this virus at this time. We'll just close our time together around God's Word with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for Thy presence with us around the open Bible and around the Word of God this evening. We thank Thee for these important lessons that we've learned from the prayer life of the Corinthian church. Help us each one to be earnest in prayer. Help us, Lord, to be united in the place of prayer as the saints of God. Help us to remember, O God, that day by day our prayers or supplications are vital for the work of God, for the good of others, and for the blessing of God in our land and in our nation. We pray that in all our homes, and indeed in all our hearts, there will be a rekindling, Lord, of the spirit of prayer at this particular time. And O God, we do pray, Lord, that Thou wilt intervene in mercy at this time, stop the spread of this virus. We pray, O God, that Thou wilt give wisdom, Lord, to our government, that Thou wilt protect the vulnerable, those in our medical profession and medical services. And Lord, watch over our missionaries, we pray, especially. Keep Thy protecting hand upon them. We think especially tonight, Lord, of the land of Spain. Bless the witness and the testimony, Lord, of Thy people in that land. We pray for the Reverend Hannah and his wife, the Reverend Alvarez and his wife, Reverend Boyd and his wife, and their wider family circles as well, and their friends and loved ones, and the churches and the congregations where they minister, and that part of God's vineyard. Watch over them, bless them, and protect them, and use them, even for Thine honor and glory at this time, in that land, we pray. O God, accept of our thanks for all of thy mercies. Watch over us each one, Lord, in our going out and in our coming in, until we meet again in thy will, around thy precious and holy word. For we ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory, giving thee thanks, O God, for all thy many mercies. Amen.